the greatest of these. The program of kindness, tolerance, and goodwill. Starring Tom Collins as Harvey Desmond, an unusual person who believes in his fellow man. Greatest of these. This is the story of Harvey Desmond, a young attorney whose deep conviction is that one should believe in and practice the spirit rather than the letter of the law. Harvey has been left the sum of $1 million by an eccentric client with which he has founded a philanthropic trust to help those who have met with adversity. In the administration of the Helping Hand Trust, he is greatly assisted by his fiancée, Betty Crane. This unusual couple believed with the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Corinthians, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." And now to our story. Harvey Desmond has received a rude shock, and as he returns to his office.
Morning, Your Highness. Keeping banking hours, aren't you?
Hello, Betty.
Do you know I've been waiting here for... Darling, what's the matter? You look as though you've lost your last friend.
I've just heard some rather nasty news, Betty.
Oh, darling, sit down.
Thanks.
What is it, dear?
I've just come from the bank across the street.
The People's Penny Bank?
Yes.
Well, what's happened?
Well, I just came in this morning when I received a phone call from old Mr. Bridges, the bank's president. He seemed to be quite upset. I wanted to know if I wouldn't come over to the bank just as soon as I could. Of course, I ran right over.
What was it?
Well, it was about 9:30, so the bank hadn't opened yet, but Mr. Bridges was watching for me because when I got there, the door was opened immediately. And without a word, Bridges took my arm and led me into his private office.
Was his partner, Walton, there? Those two have been practically inseparable for years.
Yes, he was there. And I've never seen a man who looked so utterly dejected. He was seated at a desk with his head in his hands, staring in front of him, and I tell you, Betty, I've never seen such despair in a man's eyes.
Poor old thing. Harvey, what had they done to him?
Well, Bridges had a hard time getting to the point of my visit. He was notably embarrassed. He kept glancing from me to that poor old man at the desk, but presently he pulled himself together and said...
Harvey, what we have to tell you doesn't come easy. Mr. Walton and I have been up most of the night trying to work this thing out.
Walter, I think I'd better tell him. After all...
I was trying to make it a little easier for you, John.
No, my friend... The time's gone by for that. It's this way, Harvey. I understand you have the funds of $1 million trust at your personal disposal.
Yes, that's true, more or less.
I'm told the purpose of the trust is to help people who perhaps can't fulfill the qualifications required by bankers from ordinary borrowers.
Yes, that's one way of putting it.
Well, Harvey, you have it in your power to save the peace of mind and the savings of several thousand people. All our depositors here. Temporarily, this bank is ruined.
Gosh, that's bad news.
I'm the only one responsible, Harvey. I've made some disastrous speculations and I've used up all the reserves of the bank. You read about the mid-colonial smash yesterday?
Yes?
That settled everything. That ruined us. And that was... Well, it was the finish for all those poor folks who looked up to us.
John, try to calm yourself.
I can't. I'm a thief. A thief, I tell you.
You see, Harvey, he's been talking like this all night. Perhaps you can have some effect on him.
I tell you, I've swindled everybody and ruined all my friends who trusted me. All those 7,000 people.
Not intentionally, I'm certain. Not at the beginning. I'm sure the first transaction was only an error of judgment.
You're too kind, Walter. Making allowances for me like this. I marvel at your being able to take this news the way you do. Instead of telling me what you really think of me, a common crook.
John, we're not all subject to the same temptations, my friend, and we've not all been given the same strength to withstand them.
Walter.
Well, now, what can I do to help?
Well, we thought the trust...
Just a moment, Walter. Before we discuss that, I owe it to Harvey to say that I tried to keep things going by trying to raise further money these last few days, but the insurance company won't increase the amount of my policy. When they refused, there was nowhere else to go, no security, you see.
How much is the shortage?
After deducting everything I've pledged and Mr. Bridges' personal fortune here, I signed his name to something I shouldn't have.
The net shortage is about $200,000, Harvey.
Well, it certainly is a staggerer.
I must tell you, there's absolutely no security, Harvey.
On the other hand, the happiness of 7,000 people...
We've exactly 1 week to put it right before the examiners are due to check the securities.
I only learned of this last night, and we've not dared to tell anyone else. Because if a whisper of it ever got around, there'd be a run on the bank, and we couldn't last a day. You're the only one who knows.
Well, it's such a tremendous amount. I don't quite know what to say. You see, it's such a big slice out of our total amount. I really never thought of using anything but the interest of the fund. I'd like to think it over. I'd hate to say no, but on the other hand, it's such a blow that...
Yes, what is it?
Dr. Gorham to see Mr. Walton.
Show the doctor into Mr. Walton's private office.
Well, I'll think this over, Mr. Walton. Let you know.
Thank you, Harvey.
You'll do your very best for us, won't you, Harvey?
Well, you can be sure of that, Mr. Bridges. I tell you, Betty, I didn't know what on earth to say when old Walton broke down and started to cry.
Oh, it's always dreadful to see a man weep for any reason. Oh, but Harvey, the person I'm sorry for is his daughter, Barbara. It's really hard on her just as she's going to be married to Frank Bridges.
Yes. I'm sorry for Frank. After all, his father's Walton's partner. With Frank working as cashier of the bank, some of this is bound to reflect on him.
Oh, it's unfair. Especially when they're so much in love with each other.
Really? I don't know them very well, but I took it for granted it was the usual marriage of convenience between the children of two partners.
Oh, heavens no. You should have heard Barbara talk about him at college. She's positively insane about him. Has been for years.
It's a pity Walton didn't think of that before he started...
Oh, Harvey, we must give them a hand. We can't have them ruined just as they start married life.
I don't know what to do, Betty. If we let him have the $200,000, we may never get it back again. Not because Walton wouldn't do the right thing, but because the securities he's been gambling in may be worthless. That means 1/5 of our fund. Less cases we can help, less interest to work on.
Yes, if we don't, Harvey, 7,000 people will be out of their wits. Old folks with their life savings gone and the poorhouse staring them in the face. Young men losing all the savings that they were going to use to start up in business and girls with their little nest eggs, everything they put aside for a family in the future. Why are people so stupid?
Nobody's ever been able to answer that question, Betty. If they could, there'd be no more crime or cruelty, war or such like.
Awful. Harvey, let's get out into the country, away from the city and all its turmoil and its mess.
All right, dear. I dare say a return to nature would help clear thinking. I'll tell Miss Grant we're going. She's evidently going to lunch. Well, I'll leave her a note.
Thank you, Doctor. You put it as kindly as anyone could.
I'm sorry, Mr. Walton, not to be more hopeful, but you've asked me to be absolutely frank with you.
Yes, I did, and of course, it's a death sentence. But it's better to face these things. You say there's no doubt at all. You don't feel that a second opinion...
I'm sorry. There's not the slightest doubt in this case.
Would you care to give... would you say how long... how long you care to give me?
Well, those recent pains are very significant.
So?
Well, I wouldn't like to say more than a few weeks.
And with continual pain... Increasing pain.
Yes. But, of course, we can always alleviate that to a great degree by drugs.
Of course. Well, thank you, Doctor. I'm much obliged to you for coming all this way down here into the old-fashioned part of town.
Not at all, Mr. Walton. I'm only sorry I couldn't give you better news. Believe me. Good morning.
Goodbye, Doctor. No, that's something I couldn't stand. Weeks and weeks, day and night of that agonizing pain again. No, I've had more than enough. I can't take any more. Nothing but a miracle. I wonder if Harvey Desmond... Is Mr. Desmond in?
No, he's not. Who is this, please?
Well, that settles it. A moment of resolution, a little courage. And the last time I used this was when Barbara and Frank were little bits of shavers. I was showing off to them in the woods, shooting at a target pinned to a tree.
Now to Act Two of The Greatest of These. We resume our story 3 days later in the home of John Walton, whose troubles have ended. His bereaved daughter Barbara and her fiancé have just returned from the funeral, in company with Frank's father, Mr. Bridges.
I think we'll be better here in the back of the house, Barbara. We'll be less of a target for the idle gazers and busybodies.
Well, I can't understand why they should want to stare at us. We're not spectacular or conspicuous in any way.
Morbid curiosity, my dear, increased by every edition of the evening paper. Pull back the curtains, Frank. A little of the afternoon sun will do us all good. And Barbara, my dear, you must try and relax, too.
Very kind of you, Mr. Bridges, but it's so much to do.
Nothing that won't keep another day. And by the way, I think you'd better stop calling me Mr. Bridges in future. You'll be living in my house very soon now, and... I want to think of you as a real daughter.
You're breaking the news to me that this place will have to go, aren't you?
I'm afraid so, my dear. I'm afraid the mortgage holder...
Well, I don't mind if Frank doesn't mind a penniless wife. The house has never been the same anyway since Mother died 10 years ago.
Oh, that's probably Harvey Desmond and Miss Crane. I asked
them... I'll answer the door.
Thanks, Frank. How those servants could have left us...
Ignorance, my dear. Ignorance, the mother of superstition. Ah, oh, Harvey, Miss Crane. So kind of you to come.
How are you, Barbara, dear? Not so good, I'm afraid. I can't get used to Father not being here in this room, and two of the servants have walked off. And...
Never mind, I'll make some tea.
We all need something to buck us up.
Oh, thanks, Betty, but it's already made. Oh. Do you want to help me bring it in, though?
Okay.
All right.
Well, Harvey, this is a sad business, my boy.
I'm afraid it's going to be worse than that, sir. The Evening Standard phoned me and asked me for a statement on the affairs of Mr. Walton.
You told them nothing, of course?
I told them, as attorney for the estate, I had no statement to make at this time.
Good.
It wasn't so good. His editor informed me if I didn't give them a statement, he'd get one from Barbara.
Well, they mustn't see Barbara. Why, that poor girl...
I'll take care of that, Mr. Bridges. If anyone calls...
Oh, here we are. Nice, strong cup of tea. It'll refresh us all.
Put down that table there, Betty.
Okay, Barbara.
Answer the door, Frank, but no visitors.
Well, here you are, everybody. Come and help yourselves to tea.
Yeah. Huh? Now, what on earth is that?
There's somebody trying to get past Frank in the hall.
Yes.
I'd better attend to it. Stay where you are, everybody.
Quite impossible today, I tell you.
All right, Frank, I'll attend to this. Go on back and have your tea. Let's see. I've seen you before, haven't I? Aren't you a reporter from the Evening Standard?
Yep.
Well, no, my name's Harvey Desmond, and I'm a lawyer and a friend of the family. If you'll come to my office tomorrow...
No, I gotta see the family for what I want. The little lady over there, which one of those is Miss Walton?
Look, you're in a house of mourning. Won't you please address your questions to me? Don't you realize no one's in any condition to answer?
Now listen, brother, this is my job, the same as the law is yours.
I dare say the community could get along quite nicely without either of us.
Oh, yeah? Well, he couldn't get along without the newspaper.
What is it you wish to know?
I want to know who's the executor of the will and how much money this dead guy's supposed to have left.
Why?
Because we've run into a story that Walton hadn't a dime and that he shot himself because he'd robbed his own bank.
Where did you get that silly yarn?
We're not so certain that it is silly. A fella come in who'd been working for the Mid-Colonial Trust Company before it went bust the other day. And he told us Walton had been plunging in their stock and hadn't any dough left.
Well, I don't know a thing about Mid-Colonial. I haven't looked into the stocks and bonds Mr. Walton left, but I'll get around to it sometime this week and let you know.
It won't do. I gotta have something for tomorrow.
Well, why not let it die down altogether?
What? Just because a good-looking gal's pouring out tea in a big house like this? Weird is that? What's their idea, slamming the door to that room?
I guess the wind blew it shut.
Oh, yeah? Well, whether they like it or not, I'm going to get the story my paper sent me to get.
I'd advise you to forget the story.
Yeah? Why?
I'll tell you. If you print anything reflecting however slightly on the integrity of the dead man, it will reflect on the People's Penny Bank. And you're going to upset the peace of mind, at least that, of 7,000 poor and industrious folks that don't deserve it. Doesn't that argument appeal to you?
It won't appeal to my news editor. He's tough. The more horrors, the better.
No sense of community spirit, huh?
Yeah.
I thought that with decent newspapers, the best stories never got printed.
It's a lot of eyewash. I'll give you till 9 o'clock tomorrow morning to get me out a list of this dead guy's securities, or in goes this story about the Mid-Colonial. Brother, I'm warning you.
There's the door. Or must I?
All right, pal, but look out for tomorrow's noon edition of the paper, that's all. Good day.
Thank you, Harvey. We stood it as long as we could before I shut the door, but we heard his threat about tomorrow.
I was playing for time. I don't know where the next danger's coming from. Is the staff at the bank likely to talk?
I don't think any of our employees has the slightest suspicion, Harvey, any more than I had. But, frankly, I'm worried.
I am, too. I'm afraid the situation's getting more dangerous every hour for everyone. Well, there's only one solution. The fund.
It'll mean the fund will have to supply an awful lot of money, Harvey. $200,000.
I know.
We'll cut down the interest terribly. And that interest might save a good many souls someday.
But think of all those people who'll be smashed tomorrow or the next day if we don't use the fund's money.
Yes, you're right, Harvey.
Well, I'll go and make the arrangements now.
Wait a minute, Harvey. Sit down for a few minutes. Barbara?
Yes?
Have you a Bible here?
Oh, yes, there's a big one in the bookcase. Here, I'll get it. Let's see. Oh, yes, here we are.
It is a big one. Thank you. Do you mind if I go in the other room for a little while?
Well, of course not.
Thank you.
Well, what do you think he means by that?
Dad's done that as long as I can remember.
What?
Gone to the Bible whenever he was in trouble. Dad says no matter what the problem or how deep the trouble, if you'll turn at random to any page in the Bible, there you'll find the solution.
Mm-hmm, I've heard of that.
Dad says it's worked for him every time.
Well, let's hope that this time will be no exception.
Well, in the meantime, why don't we all search the house? The attic, the cellar, that old desk over there, everywhere. We might find some of Mr. Walton's assets that have been overlooked.
That's a good idea, Betty. Let's go.
Did you find anything, Frank?
No. Did you?
No, except some old photos of Mother hidden away in Dad's desk. Oh, she was so pretty when she was a young girl. Look, Frank. Oh, Mr. Desmond, did you find anything?
No.
Oh, neither did we.
Well, I hope everyone had more luck than I did. I didn't find a thing.
I'm afraid we're all in the same boat. We've all searched everywhere, Mr. Bridges, but we haven't found a thing.
Strange you should say that, Harvey. I riffled the pages of this Bible here and let it fall open of its own accord. And where do you think it opened? At chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
And?
I haven't received an answer yet, but it will come.
It's wonderful to have such faith.
It's easy, Harvey, if you just believe. Here, Barbara, put the Bible back in the bookcase.
Right.
Look out, dear. This old Bible's heavy.
It certainly is.
There it goes.
Oh.
All right, let me help you, dear.
Thank you.
Gosh, that's odd.
What is it?
Sheet of postage stamps poking out from between the pages. Well, they've never been used. Well, I didn't know your father was a collector, Barbara.
Well, he wasn't that I know of. Well, what are they? Well,
they're airmail stamps, a whole sheet of them. Let's see. 4, 8, 10, 8. Well, there's 100 of them.
Oh.
And look, that's funny. The airplanes are all printed upside down.
Say, do you suppose they could be valuable?
Well, I don't know anything about stamps, but... Well, who do we know that does?
Say, I have a client I do a little work for sometimes. He's an editor of an international stamp magazine. I'll call him. Now, wouldn't it be funny now if this... Hello? Is Mr. Kellard in? And when's he due back? Tomorrow morning, huh? No message, thanks. Well, that's that.
You don't remember your father saying anything about stamps?
No, Frank. I never heard him as much as mention them.
Look in the Bible again.
Oh, wait. What? There's a note here addressed to me.
Whereabouts in the Bible is it?
The book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Ah, read it to us.
To my daughter Barbara on her first birthday with love from Daddy. I bought these before you were born as a memento of my first trip to Washington. There's a mistake in the printing as the airplane is upside down. Perhaps someday they may be worth a dollar each instead of the face value of 24 cents. I bought them the first day they came out. J.W.
Well, what do you make of that?
Well, $100 is always useful.
I think it's time for us all to go home. We're all tired and we haven't settled anything about the bank, the depositors, what to do.
I think we'll all know what to do in the morning.
Barbara's staying with me tonight.
Good. I suggest we all better meet in my office at 9 tomorrow. Meantime, Barbara, lock those stamps up, please. Well, there's a statement of the affairs of the late Mr. Walton. So far as I can see, the securities are completely worthless. I don't think that nursing them for a period of 6 months or so would help at all. I'm sorry, but... Hello? Who? Oh, Mr. Kellard. Sure, put him on. Hello, Emil. You got my wire?
Just got it a moment ago when I got in. Harvey, do you mean to say you've got an entire unused sheet of those...
Yes, and a letter stating that they were bought on the first day of issue. Why?
It's tremendous. Will you give me the first refusal of them?
Why, I don't know why not. My friends would like to know what you think they're worth.
You mean each one?
Yeah, wait a minute, Emil. The other phone's ringing. See who it is, will you, Betty?
Yes, Miss Grant, who is it? Mr. Desmond's very busy.
The Evening Standard's on the phone. They want to know if Mr. Desmond has a statement to make.
I'll call him back in a few minutes.
All right, Mr. Desmond.
Oh, sorry, Emil. Where were we?
You wanted to know what those stamps are worth.
Oh, yes.
Well, you'd better hold on to your hat. They're worth between $2,500 and $3,000 a piece.
A piece?
Hold me, somebody. I'm going to faint.
Well, I can't. Barbara has fainted.
Well, Emil, when you said you wanted the first refusal just now, did you mean you wanted to buy the lot? I mean to say, isn't that rather a tall order for one man to swing? How long would it take?
I can do this deal in half a day. I'll get it underwritten by half a dozen of the biggest dealers. They know where they can sell them at once, of course.
Well, when would payment be made?
Oh, you can have it today if you want. President of my bank will do it for me. He's one of the biggest collectors.
Well, do you mean you can borrow money from a bank on these things?
Certainly. Why not? They're a perfectly marketable commodity.
Well, okay, Emil. Come over to my office and we'll fix it up.
Well, Harvey, it looks as if our troubles were over. I knew the widowed and the thrifty wouldn't be allowed to suffer because of the mistakes of one poor sick man. We can all sleep soundly in our beds tonight, thanks to that Bible.
Yes?
The Evening Standard wants to know.
I'll come right out. Well, I've certainly got a story for that blackmailing rag that'll get on the front page, but you ladies will have to excuse me if I talk to them in the other room. I may want to call that editor a few things you'd rather not hear. These three... And the greatest of these is charity. ¶¶
Harvey Desmond was portrayed by Tom Collins, Betty Crane by Mary Lansing, Mr. Walton by Norman Field, and Mr. Bridges by Griff Barnett. The Greatest of These was written by Charles Whittaker and was produced and directed by Edward Sloman. This is Gain Whitman.